Thank you for joining us for this message. Whether you are watching for the first time or simply catching up on a message you missed, we are so glad you are connecting to God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you will experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com. We hope you enjoyed this message.
Well, again, out of respect for God's word, thank you for continuing to stand. We're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. I'll read first, and then Apani is going to help you all read together. Ready? I always thank my God for you and for the gracious gifts he has given you now that you belong to Christ Jesus.
Through him, God has your heart in every way, with all of your eloquent words and all of your knowledge.
This confirms that what I told you about Christ is true.
Now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Christ.
He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be free from all blame on the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns.
He is faithful to do what he says, and he has invited you into a partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. Amen. Let me pray. Father God, just simply ask, may the words of my mouth be your words today, God. And Father, we are grateful. We are so grateful that your Holy Spirit is in this place and online. And God, we just ask that you will continue to have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, can we thank Apani, please? Thank you, sister. Yeah, nope. Go down and put it on the, there you go. Super. All right, Apani started a new school this past week, and as a teacher, former high school teacher, I know the hearts of students and the anticipation and anxiousness of that first week, and I just challenge all of us to pray for students, whether just starting school or they're going to grad school. We need to pray for that next generation. Amen? All right. And Pastor Mick, thank you. Thank you. I do not take this honor lightly, and it is really a privilege. But I just really also want to let you know and publicly thank you that I have had the privilege of having a sabbatical the last few months. I came back July 19th, and that was your gift to me. So thank you for that. My family and I, we had a number of capstone events in that amount of time that I was off, and just some rest and reflection, and it was good. It was good. So thank you for that gift. And I just also want to say a shout out to the incredible KCC staff team that I have the blessing to serve with. Folks, I just want to let you know that that team, the staff team, I've never seen a more dedicated and diligent group of people that love Jesus and just want to serve. It is truly my honor and my blessing to serve alongside them. So let's get to what God's put on my heart. Well, I just want to say one other thing. Here we go. My communication style is way different than Pastor Mick's, okay? I definitely do not talk as fast as he can, and he does. And at least he is the fastest preacher I've ever listened to, wow. But very effective preacher, I might say, also. Definitely, you're not going to see me move back and forth and pace. I don't do that either. Maybe, I don't know, I'm just open to the Holy Spirit. I don't know, maybe I will be. But that's why this stool is here, sometimes I just like to continue the conversation in that posture. So, and then one other thing about my communication style is I love to ask questions. You might say, why do you like to ask questions? There it is, first question. I believe that asking questions engages a person to respond, and it always broadens my perspective, their response. And it's scriptural. Iron sharpens iron. And so you'll be hearing some questions. So we've spent the last 12 weeks, and that's a long time to have a series that long, called The Unstoppable Force. We unpack the first 12 chapters of Acts, the book of Acts. And the whole focus was on learning more about that first church, how it grew, how the Holy Spirit appeared, how it developed, how people were equipped, how people prayed, how it was structured, something that is very important to me, that infrastructure, how it became, started getting persecuted. So what have you and I learned in the unpacking of these chapters? Just for a quick review, this is the teacher in me. The Holy Spirit, okay, is now present. If you've forgotten or you weren't part of all the messages of the last 12 weeks, read Acts 2, wonderful chapter. Peter is leading the church. Miracles and signs and wonders are occurring throughout the church. Opposition grows against the church. And there were leaders, Stephen and James were martyred. Persecution sends believers out into Judea and Samaria. The Gentiles hear the good news. So we see that the church grows and develops in those first chapters, 12 chapters. But beginning in chapter 13, there's a shift. There is a shift. And the remainder of the books of Acts, or the chapters in the book of Acts, shifts to, through the power of the Holy Spirit, commissioning and sending people out, okay? People out into far, far away regions and lands. He commissioned Paul and Barnabas, sending them to do what? To share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Acts that are recorded in chapters 13 to 28, and I know that the connection reading plan, we were reading that all through August, and perhaps if you read through those, you would agree with me that there was, it really solidified the multi-ethnic movement of Jesus with all people groups and all nations that existed at that time. It also highlights how Paul was imprisoned. He spent a lot of time in prison, and he wanted to be out there starting Jesus communities, right? And he, what did he do? He used his time in prison, and he wrote many of the apostolic letters that guided and encouraged a host of churches in a variety of ways. I just might add a little caveat. God uses all things. Amen? So one of those letters he wrote to the church in Corinth, which we read part of earlier, and with that background, I'd like to take a deeper dive into this text. What are we, as Christ followers at this church, KCC, stewarding? How are we stewarding this movement of Jesus? We learned and we heard about the church being the unstoppable force all summer long. So what is next? So the Lord's put on my heart that we need to be, I need to challenge you. So, okay, this is, I'm asking God to speak through me. So the book of the Bible opens with Paul addressing the church in Corinth. His message in that first chapter is one of unity and humility. Paul always reminds in almost every one of his apostolic letters that there is true power and salvation that can only come through the saving message of Jesus Christ. Now, when we zone in on verses 4 through 10, he's grateful for the church in Corinth, and he commends them for the host of gifts that God has given the Christ followers and that they are using them. He encourages them to stay strong, to use their gifts for kingdom impact. And he also reassures them that God will provide all their needs and that God is faithful. Paul reminds the church of Corinth to be unified together. And throughout his letter, Paul was saying, I believe he was asking, Church of Corinth, do you have too much of the city of Corinth in you and not enough of Jesus? I stopped there and said, do you and I have too much of the world in us and not of Jesus, not enough of Jesus in us? Do people that know us see Jesus in our hearts? So how can we be the unstoppable force, the Big C Church, right here at KCC, where God has planted this church, where we really have a multi-ethnic movement going on? Each of us have been uniquely designed by our Creator, and shaped, if you would, with special gifts, abilities, skills, passions, personalities, experiences, and so on. Why? So we can impact the world for Jesus. So now, not everyone is called into full-time ministry, right? Not everyone's called into global missions, but each of us are disciples. And as disciples, we're called to carry out that mission, right, that Jesus tasked us with. Matthew 28, go and make, right, disciples of all nations. You know the verse, Matthew 28. That requires us to allow God to use us, use our shape, how he's put us together, does it not? So the teacher in me likes to be interactive, so I'm gonna ask for some audience participation today. And we're gonna look at five ways to be the church and not just do church. Now, this is great. We need to come together, right? To come together to worship and to pray and to encourage one another and to learn and get equipped so that we can be sent out. But we also need to remember that God has called us to be disciples. So we're gonna do one practice, and I wrote a statement. And when I wrote this statement, I really didn't count the number of words in the statement. It's something that only God, just leave it at that. It's interesting that this statement that we're going to share and be interactive with is 12 words. 12 disciples. Disciples were what? Tasked for, to carry out the mission of Jesus, correct? All right, so here's the statement. And again, we're gonna have some motions with that. So y'all ready? All right, online, you ready? Okay, here we go. Be somebody that does something for someone that points them to Jesus. All right, let's do it one more time and then we'll get into the five ways. Ready? Be somebody that does something for someone that points them to Jesus. Okay? All right, here we go. We need to be the unstoppable force, folks. God's calling us. First way, serving one another. In order to lead in anything, you have to serve in something. And we need to understand the need to serve. We need to be the church, and we need to also come together, but we also need to be sent, and we need to understand how and what God's calling us to serve in. So 1 Peter 4:10, God has given each of us a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. That happens to be the Chapman's family verse, and We chose that verse because we didn't want to lose the focus of discovering and growing and using our individual gifts. And each of us in our family have different gifts. And we also put our individual gifts together, and we served in a host of ways over the years as a family. And I just want to highlight just a couple of moments that I captured recently. And I know my husband does not want any recognition, but oh well. I've watched him serve in a host of ways over the last 35 years. One picture shows that he's pretty much, maybe there's a picture, I don't know, helping a delivery man maneuver a box that was way too big, up three flights of stairs in 95-degree weather. He just said, hey, yeah, I'll serve you, I'll help. And that man was so grateful for Gary's assist. Anytime that we're in a restaurant and Gary sees a law enforcement person having a meal, he picks up the tab. Why? Because he understands the job and commitment of a policeman. You see, he took that oath to serve and protect for over 30 years in a city and a community where the majority of people didn't look like him. He just loves to serve. He leads with serving. Our daughter, Lauren. Yeah, thanks, honey. Again, she wouldn't want any recognition, but she's living out 1 Peter 4:10. Use your gifts well to serve another. And she earned her doctorate in pharmacy, and instead of moving directly into a lucrative opportunity, she decided to accept a residency at a health clinic. And that health clinic serves under-resourced people. And she said, Mom, Dad, that's my mission field. And the key point here, folks, is the only thing that will go into eternity is what you do for the kingdom of God. Amen? So, who are you serving with your gifts? Let's state our sentence together. Be somebody that does something for someone that points them to Jesus, encouraging one another. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Here at KCC and in our surrounding community, we have the incredible opportunity to encourage people that don't come from the same culture that we do. They don't look like us. They don't have the same relational experiences as we do. And it's just not about you and I learning. It's about you and I contributing and participating. So we're learning from one another. And when we encourage others, it softens a person's heart for God. And I don't know if the pictures are working, but the collage of pictures represent two incredible encouragers of my life. And one is my 95-year-old dad. Picture me and my dad. And he and when my mom was still with us, they just were encouraging people. They would encourage and encourage and encourage and encourage. And his physical limitations now have limited him to physically go out and do that. So what does he do? He picks up the phone, and he calls, and he encourages, and he encourages folks, and he writes notes, and it softens people's heart for God. Gary engages people and ends up most times encouraging them, and whether he just met them or whether they're members of family or their friends. And you know what? I just want to say that I'm not sharing here today for all of you to see what and how my family serves and encourages. I simply want us to think about and ask ourselves who in our circle of influence sees you encourage others. Who are you Barnabas to? We know that the name Barnabas means encourager, but you have to engage in order to encourage, right? And we can do this because what? We have the hope of Jesus Christ in us, right? And we should be joyfully sharing that while engaging people and encouraging them. All right, so the key point for this is it's impossible for us to influence when we're not in the conversation with another, right? So, ready? Be somebody that does something for someone that points them to Jesus. You guys are getting good. I'm impressed. Online, I hope you're having fun with this too. Producing with one another. Excuse me. John 15:1-5, and that's the story of where Jesus tells his disciples that he is the vine and we are the branches, and that his Father is the gardener. And it's a very powerful, powerful first five verses of this book, and I feel led to read it. So I know that we're on time clock, but it's always good to hear the Word of God. Amen. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, says Jesus, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those of you who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So let me focus on the Big C Church for a moment. We can do more together than apart. KCC is a partner church with Love in the Name of Christ, South King County. And the mission of Love, Inc. is very simple. It's to mobilize churches in the community to transform lives, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to serve, to encourage, to produce. And what sets Love, Inc. apart is that they unabashedly share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's a great opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ when we're helping someone. Amen? When churches come together, life transformation can happen. Not only to those that need help in the community, but transformation as Christ followers from different churches come together and do ministry together, to be the hands and feet of Jesus together. Powerful. It strengthens the community. And don't we need strength in all our communities across this land and across this world today? Amen? We need to be a bridge builder, right? That's what Love, Inc. allows churches in a community to do. So let me circle back to John 15 for a moment. You know, God calls us to remain in him so that we can produce fruit, even when it gets tough. What do I mean by that? Well, if you think about it, here's a little biology lesson for today. If you look at a grapevine, you see a root and a host of branches growing from that root, right? And those vines then grow in all kinds of different directions and ways attached to that based on the nutrients and that the sun that they're receiving. And some vines are stretched and moved from the root by the vineyard farmer so they can grow and produce more fruit or allow other vines, to reach their fruit-producing potential. So I'm going to get a little bit more personal with you. A little over 8 years ago, God began his vineyard farmer work in my life. He began moving my branch from where it was on the vine to somewhere else. Sense that he was saying, I'm moving you to a different part of the vineyard. And I'm like, what? I like what I'm doing. I got 20-some plus years doing life. I don't want to leave behind family and friends and church that I love and deep community connections. Folks, I had a choice to make. Listen, trust, and obey. I resisted, but complied. I questioned, but I trusted. So I followed the process. And when the phone call happened, and I was offered the position of executive pastor here at KCC, I walked the campus of the other church I was serving at for a couple hours, and I just spent time with God, asking, seeking, listening, and God was silent. I'm like, really? So I had to get home. So on my way home, I pleaded with God for a sign. Give me a direct sign. Before I share this with anyone, especially my husband, I need a sign from you. Well, you may be thinking, well, that's pretty bold. I said, yep, that's right. I was really bold. God wired me in that way for that time. And he knew what I needed. So as I was turning onto our road to our home, and our home for me was a safe and peaceful haven. I know that's not for everyone, but it was for me. I asked God the question, can I please just have a sign, a confirmation? And I turned, and as I turned, literally the front tires hit, song came on the radio. We sang it earlier today. He reigns. Let me just read you the first verse. It's the song of the redeemed rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven drowning out the Amazon rain. The song of Asian believers filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation. A love song from a grateful choir. And as I listened to the words that were being sung, and knowing what I knew about KCC, it's a multi-generational, multicultural, multi-ethnic church, I knew the answer. Yes, I'll go. The key point here, folks, is the world needs the light that shines within you, along with the gifts that God has given you. And that sometimes may require a move in the vineyard. Ready? Be somebody that does something for someone that points them to Jesus. Fourth area, guiding one another. John 16:1. All this I've told you so that you will not go astray. Question here is, can we run a race for God so someone else can experience God? So how many of you have ever heard of Jerome Avery? Anybody? Okay, I heard a yes. Jerome is a world-renowned sprinter who has spent the last 16 years training Paralympian athletes. And the last 7 years, he has been training a man named David Brown. Now, David is the fastest blind man in the world. He's a 3-time gold medalist, 2-time record holder, and the first totally blind athlete to run the 100 meters in less than 11 seconds. Quite a feat. Being a former track coach, that's quite a feat. Jerome is his guide. As the pictures indicate, maybe, they're tethered together. And Jerome guides David from starting block to finish line. Imagine for a moment the training required for these two men to run in step with one another, the trust level on David's part, the sacrifice on Jerome's part, the sheer discipline that's required to finish the race, and the hours and hours of training, coaching, bonding, but being not only in the same physical rhythm, but also emotional, mental, and relational rhythm. This, folks, in my opinion, is a beautiful depiction of somebody using their gifts so that another can run their race. Who are you tethered to today? The key point, run a race for God that points people to Jesus. Ready? Be somebody that does something for someone that points them to Jesus. And finally, the fifth way all of us can use our gifts: praying for one another. Ephesians 6:18, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So last Sunday, Pastor Mick, during his message, shared the importance of prayer. He set the stage and made a whole list. And I'm like, bro, I'm talking about prayer this week. And I'm like, you know what? We probably need to talk about prayer all the time. So it was a great review. And I said, yep, all his points. So maybe you didn't hear it. Maybe you don't remember it. Maybe you haven't started it. Let's review it. Prayer is our greatest weapon. Amen? I would also add, it's free. All we have to do is engage with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are to be specific in our prayers. Pray earnestly. Ask and ask and ask again. We're to pray sacrificially. Fast and pray. And folks, if you can't give up food, give up something else. Give up technology. Give up going to a movie. I don't know. Fill in the blank. Fast and pray. Write out your prayers. Never stop praying for miracles. Where are you at on that meter? Are you praying for miracles? Because God, we serve and worship a God that is a miracle-working God. Amen? He does it. We are to pray God's word. It's wonderful to pray the Psalms. Just as a suggestion, there's praise. God, you are mighty. You are wonderful. You are our counselor. We repent. Forgive us, Lord. We ask. Shower your mercy. Save us. We're so grateful. And then what do? We yield to his will. And then we are to pray in Jesus' name, right? It's in his name. His name. We will always have victory. Amen? So will you dedicate your lives to bring others to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Sometimes that starts with simply praying for someone that you know needs Jesus. Key point here. Your prayer life is a direct reflection of your intimacy with Jesus. Okay, when I wrote those words, I was convicted too. We can all get better. I don't know, I want to be more intimate with Jesus. And if it requires more prayer on my part, I'm going to do it. Here we go. Be somebody that does something for someone that points them to Jesus. All right, I'm going to have some call to action points for us today. First of all, if you haven't taken a spiritual gifts test inventory, do it. You need to learn more about how God has gifted you for kingdom impact. And maybe God's calling you to discover and grow more. There's a variety of gifts here in our church, and we need to know what those gifts are so that we can put people together to go and serve and encourage and pray and produce. Secondly, volunteer to serve in a KCC ministry or a ministry partner like Love Inc. We need each other. Participate, number three, in the upcoming multi-ethnic conversations class. We can learn from one another, can we not? Can we commit to pray daily for our church? Can you give 5 minutes to pray specifically for KCC every day? And if you're doing that, thank you. Please continue. And this week, can you be somebody that does something for someone that points them to Jesus, and share it. Our stories encourage one another. Do they not? We are to encourage, and it helps us, and it pulls us out of our comfort zone and say, yeah, you know what? I need to go do that too. There's a link where you can add your story. Online family, you can connect digitally with all the calls for action. And family in the house here today, moments after the service, just spend a couple minutes talking to someone and picking up some literature about how to participate in these call to action steps. I'd like to invite the worship team up, and I'd like to close with, as Paul Harvey would say, and I'm dating myself, but I was a kid when I heard Paul Harvey, close with the rest of the story of how God called us here. So, after saying yes, things started rolling very quickly, and I moved here by myself. Gary stayed back east to sell our house. Our daughter started her freshman year. She was away at school, college, and I moved over here, and by a beautiful blessing and gift, stayed with a friend of my parents who moved here after her husband passed away. She was a widow, and neat lady. She's with Jesus now. And Ida, she was a sweet lady. Didn't know her. In fact, I didn't know anybody. And it was hard. It was hard. And when I was at first day in late October, I was driving on 60th Street, about ready to turn in on the west end of the campus. And I said, God, I can't do this without you. Don't want to do it, and I won't do it without you. I need you. I'm all by myself. I know I have you, but I need some folks with skin on to be Jesus with me and for me. So as I turned into the drive, I said, God, I need to know that I am in the center of your will. And wouldn't you believe that the song that came on the radio was He Reigns? Do we not serve a faithful and powerful and loving God? So if you think today, that God doesn't love you, that God doesn't care about the details of your life, that your gifts aren't, could never be used, don't believe that lie. God uses everyone that allows Him to use them. And He loves you, and He wants for you to engage. He wants for you to serve. He wants for you to produce. He wants for you to be tethered to somebody, to guide someone. And boy, does He ever. He just waits. He's a gentleman in the living room. Wants you to engage and just talk with Him. I can say it was so worth it. For me, for us, to listen, trust, and obey. I know that everyone's story is different, but God is calling us to be the unstoppable force here in this place, in this community, this part of the vineyard. And yeah, we're different here at KCC. We need to celebrate that. We need to wrestle with it. And we need to come together and show the world that every tribe, every tongue, and every nation needs Jesus. Amen? So, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to stand. And as I pray, if you feel that God's tugging at your heart to perhaps accept one of those call to action opportunities. Just raise your hand, all right? Pray with me. Father God, thank you. Thank you that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you that you are a creator that has uniquely designed every human being that lived, is living, and will live. And God, thank you that you have called us here for such a time as this. We know it's not without challenge, God. We know that you are with us. We know that you are faithful. God, we implore that you would help us to be bold and courageous and live out the plan and purpose that you have for our lives individually, in our families, and as a church, God. We want to be chasing after you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.